Let's start again! Recruiting Animal here on September 14th, 14-2011, 2011. And as I said last week, I'm going to continue what I was talking about then. I started a new Twitter policy. Since September 1st, I have unfollowed about 1,800 people. 1-800. And as I said last week, in case you weren't here, I'll repeat myself, most of those people had not posted in months. They were non-active, or they only posted location information. I'm at Pork Pull at this corner, whatever. I'm eating Pork Pull tacos. One guy actually put that up there last week. I don't care, so I unfollowed him. Or some people only posted jobs. Or some people, they were real Twitter users, but I didn't know them. They never talked to me. I never talked to them. And you know what? I thought I'd be able to see more of them if I followed them by putting them into bookmarks on my browser rather than in the Twitter stream. That's how I follow regular blogs, and I decided to treat these Twitter pages like regular blogs. They're called microblogs, right? Anyway, here's the main result of my policy so far. I have women sending me Twitter messages just like this. These are three of the messages I got this week. Oh, my gosh, Animal, thank you for the retweets today. Oh, Animal, I longed for the day that you would tweet me, and now that day has come. Animal, enjoy your day. I'm off like a prom dress. I'm off like a prom dress. That is hot. And she was sending me that hot message only because I actually looked at her Twitter page and I ran through everything till I found something worth RTing, worth posting. You know, if I were on stage, these girls would be throwing kisses at me because I don't just glance at them as they pass by in the Twitter stream and say, hey, that's not for me. I go to their pages and I look for the best of what they have to offer. Yes, it's true. The Recruiting Animal Twitter strategy is all about finding the best in people and celebrating that. And you might say, after I said that, you might say, Animal, I often see you spanking people in public. And I'll say, yeah, that's true. But haven't you ever heard the saying, you always spank the one you love? Well, that's not completely true. But why can't you fight with people you appreciate? Those two things are not mutually exclusive. Everybody knows it in their regular lives. So why can't it be true on Twitter, too? Now, coming back to this show, that's enough of the Twitter strategy. I'll just note that someone sent me a note that Pro Blogger, a super blogger, he's unfollowed all of his Twitter follows. Robert Scoble unfollowed all of his Twitter follows and started from scratch. I'm not that radical, but I'm moving in the same direction, and I didn't even have to follow them. I thought about it myself. Okay, now coming back to the show, we got a guy on today who believes that LinkedIn, I'm so out of breath, what's wrong with me? Anyway, he believes that LinkedIn should be used to create trusted networks, and I've always held the idea that that's a big fat joke. That is stupid. So who knows, maybe some sparks are going to fly today, maybe not on Jerry Jerry. What show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
wrong with me? I got no life in me.
No.
You know, that was a great show. But
well, you've been, this is about as much interaction as you've had with women in a while, so I can see why you're a bit worn out. I mean.
Yeah, I guess.
Hang in there.
Okay, there's only about six people called in. I mean, you had that great show, and I'm glad it was caught.
It was one of the better ones in the last month or so.
Yeah, well, you haven't had too many in the last month because you haven't been here. Anyway, let's
You shut down for the summer.
You shut down for the summer. I only took 2 weeks off. But you know
Somebody
what?
Did.
We're not a bunch of good guys on the news. We're not boring people. Let's just cut that out. Let's cut the chit chat out and go straight to the guest. Doug Whatley, are you here?
Yes, I am.
You know what? You don't sound very good. Are you on a landline like I asked you to be?
Yes, I am on a landline.
Are you using a handset or a headset?
I'm using my handset.
Well, I don't know. Is your mouth close to the phone?
If it was any further down, it'd be in my throat.
Okay, I guess I can't do any better, but you sound a bit fuzzy to me. How are you today, Doug?
I am doing spiffy.
Great. Okay. Now, I got a problem. I'm wondering if I have a diversity issue. Yesterday, I signed a girl up to be on this show, so she went, and I guess she never listened before. She started listening to the archive, and she posted this on Twitter. She said, listening to the animal show. Sounds a lot like dinner with my Italian in-laws. Now, you're not Italian, are you, Doug?
Nope. I have no Italian.
Jerry's not Italian. Maureen's not Italian. Reyes not Italian. This isn't a show for Italians. I don't know what she's talking about.
We do not want any Italians on this show.
No, we can have Italians. This is for everybody.
All right. I was just trying to go where you were going with it, dude. As your co-host, I need to see the direction you're going and try to help you get there. Sorry about that. My bad.
You know, I'll talk about another diversity issue, although I kind of worry about them. This might be the show that's most suitable for Latinas, and I didn't even know that because there's a magazine called Latina Style, and apparently Kaiser Permanente has, I don't know if that's how you say it, it was voted the best company for Latinas, and I wondered, like, what does that mean? Do they do business in Spanish? I mean, what do Latinas want that other people don't? Well, the magazine just surveyed their readers and asked them what they want in a company, and the company that fit that most was Kaiser Permanente. I'm going to guess that Kaiser Permanente would score high with women of any ethnic background, but for some reason, they said it's the best company for Latinas. So maybe this is the best show for Italians. I don't know what it means. It's confusing. I don't want to step on anyone's toes. I don't want to shut anyone out. This is an open show, a wide open show. I just want everyone to know that, okay?
Mike Astringer's Italian, isn't he?
Yeah, he calls himself a Guido. I forgot about that.
Okay, there
Astringer
you go.
Doesn't sound like an Italian name, okay? And I had that one of those girls I quoted comes from Asbury Park, New Jersey, but she doesn't have an Italian name, but maybe she is. Anyway, let's go on. Enough about Italians today. So in the Austin Business Journal, it says, Mr. Whatley, he's down in Austin, Texas, Mr. Whatley has devoted his professional career to building human capital and talent management businesses that have focused on areas of HR consulting, recruiting, career coaching, and organizational development training. Now, Doug, you wrote that yourself. You wrote that yourself, didn't you?
Well, they asked me to write something,
yeah, but it's so puffed up. What did you have to put in human capital and talent management? I got to tell you, if there's one phrase or two words that make me kind of dizzy and confused, it's talent management. What does that mean?
Well, it's just they're trying the over-encompassing thing of people and whether it's talent acquisition.
It doesn't mean anything. Oh, come on, at least confess it to us. There's nobody listening. About six people have called in. There's probably just a few more listeners. That doesn't mean anything. Human capital, talent management, you're just trying to make yourself have a little more icing on that cake, right?
Yes. We don't fire people. We outplace them. You know, we're always creating euphemisms.
There it is, everybody. Talent management doesn't mean anything in most cases. Human capital, you know, he already said he's doing recruiting that and career coaching. That's all he's talking about. And then later on in your profile for the Austin Business Network, you've got your history. He expanded his knowledge base working as VP at Infosys Development, cutting his teeth into technology and professional search. This is what I like coming up. Then he dove into the realm of human resources. as EVP of SP3 recruiting. That's how you made the move into recruiting. You dove in, right?
Yes, I dove in head first.
Okay, now, but you became the executive vice president. How many people were in that company? Just you?
About a dozen. Yeah, it was a small consulting firm.
Okay, and so you knew something about recruiting before you became a recruiter. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, even back as much as the 80s when I was at Professional Career Associates, we did primarily outplacement career development, and we did occasional recruiting, so I knew what it was. And when I joined Infosys, the president said he wanted someone who
would
build
it. Yeah, okay, I don't care. Okay, this show's boring already. I got to tell you, we got to pep it up. So here's
Let's
how I'm going to do
up.
That. On your LinkedIn profile, you bill yourself right at the very top as a contrarian. I've never seen that. You told me yesterday that's your brand, contrarian. So I'm assuming that's not because of an emotional disorder, that you find a lot of things to be contrary about objectively in real life. Is that true?
Well, a contrarian is not to be confused with being contrite.
I said contrary. A contrarian is not just a contrary person who hates everything, is it? I mean, is that your turn of mind?
No, but he can be like that. I mean, all my whole life, I've always been, you know, looking at the purple elephant. Let's look at something differently. A friend of mine, a business coach here in Austin, Dag Nabeau, wrote that the customer is always right. And I challenged that. And I said, well, if the customer is always right and you're a consultant or a coach, then why do they have any bother with you? They're infallible. You have to approach it that let's assume the customer is always wrong and force the customer then to validate their points, and if they can't validate them...
Okay, so what you're saying... Let me cut you off, okay? Now, what you're saying is that when people use silly phrases like human capital and talent management, you're one of the guys who will point it out. You know, you'll prick... those balloons that have no substance to them. Is that right?
Yes, I enjoy...
I just got a message for Carrie Quass, okay? Dear, you're always throwing kisses to me, and I appreciate it very much. Thank you, okay? I just had a message on Twitter, and I can't count on...
Hey, Animal, just a little interjection here. Your phone quality sounds awful. You're fading in and out. It's like you're 5 or 6 feet away from the phone.
Does anybody else agree with them who's on the line?
No,
you sound fine to me.
Perfect.
Sound fine to me.
Hey, Blake.
You don't have a trained professional's ear.
You know what? I think I'm having a lung problem. That might be a Jerry. Is Blake Cannon here? I see
on
Twitter. Blake, is there something I should say to your... You know, Blake brought this guy onto the show. Is there something I should say to your friend right now that would, you know, carry things forward more than I'm doing it on my own?
Ask him a question. Let him answer. He's very knowledgeable. Yeah.
Well, I'm not interested in knowledge. I'm interested in interest. I want my guests to be interesting, not knowledgeable. They're not the same thing. Okay.
Then let's bring this up.
Well, they're here to listen to the guests, then. So stop freaking interrupting him.
Yeah. Good call.
Yeah.
I will start with this then, if I can, Animal. I will
go
give
ahead.
You high praise that you are changing the way you use Twitter. We talked just yesterday about LinkedIn, about some of the people you have in your LinkedIn.
Yeah, you don't know how to use LinkedIn. Just let me tell you. But go ahead about Twitter. Go ahead.
I mean, the fact is, you know, by you trying to take, like, we mentioned some people on LinkedIn we have in common, and you don't know.
No, them. I didn't. The guy, as soon as I start talking to the guy on the phone, he starts saying, oh, you know Mark Sullivan. I do. I'm connected to him, too. So what?
Animal.
And then,
Animal. Give the guy 30 seconds.
Okay.
Please, once, just once. Let's just see where it goes.
I want Blake to help guide me with this guy, okay? Blake, please feel free to speak. Go ahead, Doug.
Frustration on Twitter. The mass amounts of people you don't know, you don't care about. There's no value to you. So you actually, I give you props for it, that you start taking control over, and that guy who deleted 1,800 of them. We have so many people where I call it social moshing. Everyone is in a mosh pit. You're half naked, sweating, groping, and grinding with people you don't even know. But hell, we're all on social X, and that's what it feels good. And there's no value. They're expressing social flatulence, but there's no real information. Just like you were saying, if someone posts something that's of information that you find interesting and worth sharing, it's not the fact that you're sitting at a Starbucks having a nice latte. social networking has become flatulence.
Dude, if we're drawing the line with all this stuff at must be useful and helpful, none of this stuff is. It's all chit-chat all day long, all weekend. I mean, that's just what it is. It is not... It's not educational. It's not helpful
stuff. You know, that's
stuff.
Absolutely untrue. But what I expect
is not absolutely untrue. Let's take a look at somebody's Twitter screen.
Hold on a second. Wait a sec. I expected Blake to cut in now and say, Animal, cut this guy off. He's just giving you the same speech he gave you on the phone yesterday and that he gives to everybody. I don't want to hear about the mosh pit. I don't want to hear about your shticks that you go around preaching, okay?
You cannot, I mean, the whole world is built
no,
the highest value.
No, let me guide the show. All you're doing, you and Jerry, are going over your old, chewing your cut again. Let's go to LinkedIn. You told
hey,
me.
Animal.
What?
Certainly, you spent the night coming up with some decent questions, didn't you?
I have questions, yeah. And LinkedIn
well,
is the
ask
number
the
one.
Questions.
Okay, LinkedIn is the number one thing. This guy is one of the people who believes that you should have a restricted network on LinkedIn of people you know and respect. So what? What's the value of that?
There'd be about four on my list.
LinkedIn in the past, LinkedIn is a database of resumes, essentially. And in the past, this is old story, sorry audience, I know I'm losing you, but who cares? In the past, if you were connected to somebody, you know, within 3 degrees, you couldn't see them in a search. So the idea was to be connected to as many people as possible so you could actually see some people. Otherwise, LinkedIn was useless. So Dave Mendoza is one of the people who helped me connect to thousands of people. I'm connected to thousands of people. Now, Jerry showed me these days you can, you know, you don't have to be connected to people to bring them up in a search. But you still can't see their last names and other information if they're not connected to you at 1 or 2 degrees. So you want to use LinkedIn as a database, you have to be connected to lots of people. It's totally meaningless that you know the people you're connected to.
If you want a database, just buy a CRM, buy Salesforce if you just want to have a database of names and emails.
So Salesforce provides you names?
You got to put them in there. Okay.
Okay. You're basically telling me that I'm going to buy a useless CRM.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Let him go ahead. We'll cut him. Okay. Blake wants me to let him talk. Go ahead.
If you just want to, if people, we treat it like in high school. You know, you get your yearbook, you go around to everyone you can possibly corner and say, "Hey, Blake, can you sign my yearbook?" Yeah, sure. What's your name? Oh, my name's Blake. We're in, you know, English class. Oh, yeah, yeah, you sign it. Then you go home and look at all the people who signed your yearbook, and you think, I really was popular. But they didn't really know you. You know,
right.
the world we live in right now, the highest value of corporate America, business in general, is intellectual property. It's where you own and patent copyright, you own intellectual property. If that's the case, the highest value, then every individual has to have something of a concept of their own intellectual property. Networks, contacts, just like the valuable Rolodex in the old days of a salesperson. You know, I can sit there and collect names and contacts at companies and just put them into a database and say, do I know these people? Can I pick up the telephone and call us and get us a meeting? No, it doesn't happen. It happens the quality, your intellectual property, really the only thing that we can certainly define in the world of social networking is the quality I own my network. I'm a self-professed closed networker, and no one in my network is. I have 1,600 people, maybe not that big according to you, Animal. I don't know how many you have, but I consider that a lot. And
didn't you hear me? I have thousands. I have thousands. But here's you said the most significant thing. Sorry, Blake, I got to cut in here. You said you are a closed networker, not an open networker. Let's get to that. I don't want to hear all the shticks that you tell everybody all the time about the yearbook and stuff like that. Why are you a closed networker? What value is there in closed networking for a recruiter?
If I let someone in my network and, one, there are people going into networks creating false profiles to get into your network to spam your network and collect information they collect in a database for identity theft.
Spammers.
But leaving that aside, you have to have – I don't want to have someone in my network, and I don't know them. They say, hey, Doug, can you refer me to Blake? I don't know them from Adam. Hey, Blake,
nobody's
here's someone
doing that anymore, though, are they? I mean, that was like 2 years ago, right?
Four years ago. 4 years ago.
Animal.
Yeah.
Can I just say that I think that there's much too much attention given to the size of the network. Am I an open network? Am I a closed network? And not enough attention focused on what you actually do with the contacts, what you are doing to turn them into an actual network and an actual group of people that are gaining benefits from each other.
Amen.
Like, who cares if it's open or closed
or anything? I don't know what you guys are talking. Go ahead, Dave. I've never heard that before. Talk about that with Doug. Go ahead.
Well, I just think that it doesn't really matter, you know, how many people are in that network, whether it's open or if it's closed, like the whole thing. I think it matters, like, okay, so like I know you on whatever social network it is. Have I ever had an interaction with you? Have I ever done anything for you? Have you ever done anything for me? Have you ever helped me out? Have I learned something from you? Those things are just so much more important to me than the raw numbers and what the approach is to, like, whether there's a lot of people or a few people. None of that really matters.
Yeah, you're not a recruiter, Dave, and it's showing way big
I like what he said here, and recruiters need to just add in that. Are you making a presentation to any of these people? Is anybody considering looking at the job that you damn well better be recruiting on today? Does anybody even know what you're doing in this network? Who the hell are you in this network of all these people? Does anybody know what your mission is, how you get paid? What service you provide for your customers? Because if not, then it's all pointless.
Yeah, you guys are just wrong. This show's dying. I'll tell you, all a recruiter needs is a database. LinkedIn is great. You don't have to call the front desk and try to goof around with the secretary.
Oh, hey, Maureen, I'm no part of that, Maureen.
No. He makes a point. LinkedIn, one of the biggest advantages LinkedIn is it just helps you save time. And you don't need to update your Outlook manually or your Salesforce.com manually like you had to do in the past. That's one of its simplest benefits. And that helps you build your network because you don't have to waste time constantly retyping things of all the people you know.
Okay, now Doug has a special relationship with LinkedIn. You want to tell us about that, Doug?
Well, I mean, it's just one of the interesting cases is though I'm a closed networker, I'm a heavy networker. I got contacted by one of the people at LinkedIn up in Chicago named Daniel Hartman, and they were launching their new recruiting tool for passive recruiting, and he kept on running across my name in the local area. You need to know Doug Watley. He knows a lot of people. And so he reached out to me, and he said, I can see from your usage that you're a power user, and I'd like to get to know you. You know, everyone talks about you. I want to take you out to lunch or dinner when I'm next in Austin and have me look at his tool and maybe get him introductions to people I know in the local area. And so he came down and he fed me, he gave me some drinks, we had a good time, we developed a relationship, and so I felt very comfortable not just introducing him to people. I actually worked with him and that we set up a workshop for HR and recruiters, mostly recruiters. And they were one of the sponsors. I put together an HR panel, had Dell there, Bizarre Voice, et cetera. And we had 50 people show up, and they get to brand themselves, and they had 50 people who show up. And so that's developing relationships. And so if I introduce him or anyone to someone through my network, then it has value. I get people all the time passing resumes across my desk. I'm not the U.S. Post Office by email. And everyone says, why do I have to spend time in my day to work for other people to refer? I don't know you. And I have to then look at this person, send them, here's a note of a resume of someone, of a friend of a friend's, cousin's, roommate's, best friend.
Are people still doing that, though? I mean, that sounds like part of an old shtick on
Wait, no, Harry,
nobody's doing that anymore.
No, they're not.
Doug. Doug, how did people know, how did this guy Hartman, Dave Hartman, I think you said his name was, from Chicago, who works for LinkedIn, how did he know that you knew everybody? What was your technique to become such a shining star in Austin?
Oh, flattery won't get you that far.
I'm not flattering you, I'm asking you.
Because I know the people in my network. He's making cold calls and visiting down to Austin, going to HR meetings, and everyone said, hey, if you want to network in Austin, especially with HR, you need to talk to Doug Watley. because these people actually knew me. I wasn't some blind person in 14,000 people on their LinkedIn. They know the individual. And so then he
– How many people do you claim then, Doug, that you actually know? Since studies indicate you really can't truly know beyond 100, 150 people. Now, your network is 500-plus connections. Now, you're saying you know that many people.
I have 60. Now, there are some people linked, maybe 100 people on LinkedIn that I linked up in the old days. We know of each other. We've orbited around. But of the 1,600 people in my LinkedIn, I know 15. I know each and every one of these. I have about 3,000 or 4,000 in my Outlook contacts. I've been in the business for almost 30 years, and we think that if you meet up to 100 people a year and just add it up, that's thousands. And I actually do know these people, and you can link to me and then talk to anyone and ping anyone in my network and say, do you know Doug? And they'll say yes.
Yeah, but knowing you and respecting you, knowing
you
and respecting you.
Maybe they know of Doug.
Yeah, no, knowing you and respecting you are two different things. Why would people recommend you as the key hub for LinkedIn to approach in Austin? I want to know, what's your technique of developing these relationships? Like Dave, that's Dave's question. Dave Kingfish ERE. What's your technique of developing these relationships so people coming from out of town are told that you're the guy they should connect with, take to lunch, buy a free meal, pump for information? Who's breathing? Stop breathing in the phone.
I think we're all breathing.
We'll do it happily in the receiver, okay?
Animal, can I ask a question?
Kathy's corner.
Did I just ask a question, Kathy? Kathy, didn't I just ask a question? Don't I have a right to get it answered, and you next?
Okay.
Go ahead, Doug.
First, to answer your question, it's because I pay attention to the people I know. I do not just ignore them and put them in a shoebox in the closet of my database. I actually get to know them. I send them notes. I do things for them. I help them. One
specific
case.
Give some examples.
Wait.
Give some examples.
I want 30 seconds. I saw a job opportunity at a company, and someone I knew named John Betham, a CEO I one time was working on some recruiting just for a job. It didn't work out. We ended up linking up. Years into the future, I saw an opportunity at a job. He was linked to that CEO of a company. I had a great candidate. I sent the candidate to John to say, how well do you know the CEO? If you feel it's appropriate, could you pass to him that this is a good candidate? And I saw, because he CC'd me, an email to that CEO, and he said, you know, here's a referral from Joanne Doug Watley. He had done recruiting on me as a CEO myself. And I don't know him that well, but over the course of years, he's always kept in touch with me, and he's always reached out at appropriate times. And
you know, we don't
say
reach out on this show. We use other normal words. Call. I called him. I emailed him. We don't reach out, okay? It's a little dramatic. Just learn that.
Say
I
reach
say
around,
it twice
okay?
already.
You know, I can't
reach...
find a Dave Hartman at LinkedIn.
Don't worry about that. I want to hear. Look, I'm trying to get Blake. If Blake can help me, I want to know. He knows Doug personally. I want to know what does Blake
question
Blake
is
Cannon.
What I do.
Blake Cannon. I haven't forgotten about Kathy.
To my network.
No, Blake.
Yeah,
what's this guy's charm?
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're very enthusiastic about him, right? What makes him so attractive that people want to refer other people to him?
You know, I personally, I mean, anytime anybody's ever called me and said, hey, do you know anybody like this, I've always introduced them to Doug. You know, since I've been recruiting in this industry here in the Austin area for 14, 15 years, I met him long ago, and everybody in town knows that if you need to know somebody that's in technology, HR, career coaching, anything like that, if you don't know Doug, then you're missing out, because Doug knows just about everybody around this town that is somebody. So, and it's nothing
know,
more.
How does
it's
he know
nothing
that?
More.
Like,
if you'll shut up, let me tell you.
Okay.
He'll take a lunch. He'll go have breakfast with you. He'll, you know, he spends all of his time actually meeting with you rather than just sitting around emailing you back and forth. Doing that, he'll get out from behind his desk. He'll go out and
can I ask then?
Talking all the time.
Blake, finish, Jerry. We heard enough. enough of
no,
you.
No, I got it. I mean, he's helpful. He's having lunch
no,
all this
I
stuff with all these different
people. I haven't got it. I
who is he sending an invoice? What is your service? At
no,
what time do you say, hey, glad you enjoyed my...
You know what? I spent half the show fighting to keep Jerry quiet, okay?
No, you haven't. Just watch this guy do.
I want Blake to talk.
It's a very simple concept of giving attention to your network.
What kind of attention?
I understand that.
Giving
attention to your network. Okay, cool.
Jerry, please, I'm begging you. Jerry.
I'm going to mute myself. I'm about to complete the next time what I want.
Okay, Blake, can you finish up and then we'll go to Kathy and Jerry. Yeah,
let me give you a 30-second example. The company I'm working with right now for almost 2 months tried their best to post and pray and find an HR manager. And after they finally said, hey, why can't we get somebody with technology background down here in Austin? I said, well, because you haven't asked me to look for anybody yet. And so they said, well, okay, if you can find us somebody, it'd be great. First thing I did, rather than going looking anywhere out there, I called up Doug, and I said, this is what I need, you know, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't have an agreement with us or anything like that. He had me five qualified, on-the-money, ready-to-go-to-work people within 24 hours that could interview with the director. I mean, that just that quick. And out of those five, two of them were people that we would make offers to. One of them we hired. And all of that without an agreement. And so basically, I will go to my company, and then we will cut him a check. And that's just off of him doing the service, you know. And it's, I know that I owe Doug. He did a great job for us. The people said, where did you find these people? These are all, you know, better than anybody we've looked at for the last 2 months. That was a phone call that I just made to Doug, and he made that happen.
And
that's his network. That's just people that he knew here in town.
Yeah, but how did
and
he
just
have
cut it? I mean, I don't want this to be about, you know, hey, Doug's a great guy. Big deal.
Yeah, that's
I mean, you're here about our goals.
But you do good. Go ahead.
And the fact is we are farting social flatulent concepts and talking about things that no one has an interest in. We have no real relationships. And there's no value to those things. And we need to change. And the fact is it takes, instead of us spending 40% of our time piddling with our pitas, usually Facebook and Twitter, irrelevant stuff, we could spend that same amount of time looking at our LinkedIn homepage and I seeing, oh, Animal's doing this, or Blake's doing that, someone just got a promotion, send them a note, congratulations, post information of content that your network is going to want. Here's an interesting article on recruiting in the social media era, and you have information that your network will find interesting and then raise your value that you're a subject matter expert. You're providing something to them. You're paying attention to them.
Let me ask a question. Kathy, I haven't forgotten you, okay? But I just want to pursue this. You know, Twitter is all about posting those articles on social media and recruiting. You can find a million of them there a day. How do you, like, give me some concrete examples. On this show, we don't just blast out generalities. We get you to say, say something, you're giving guys articles, give me three examples of when you gave articles and you really knew that that person wants that article. You've got, just like Maureen said, I don't know, Maureen's on the line, I guess, as well, but she said on Twitter that that was one hell of an endorsement that Blake Cannon just gave you, and I have to agree. I'm real impressed. Something's going on here that I don't understand. Maybe Dave Manister understands it, but I don't. I want to understand what makes you so attractive and powerful in your network. You have to be concrete. Explain it to me.
I mean, think about what if you're in a relationship, you know, and I don't mean about Twitter relationships, Animal. I'm talking about real ones.
That's where you lose Animal.
That is where you have to give each other attention. You know, you have to pay attention.
You said it already. What kind of attention? Tell a story. Tell a real-life story. Tell a few of them, okay? Blake told a good story. Blake told a good story. I bought it. I was impressed by Blake. I want to be impressed by you. Can you tell me some real-life stories? Or for some reason, you don't remember anything.
I told you the story of the candidate to someone I knew and had been developing a relationship with.
Yeah, okay.
And when he sent that resume and forwarded it to the other CEO... he said that, you know, Doug has paid attention to me over the last 6 years. He catches up.
How did you pay attention?
One is I use LinkedIn to monitor people every day, throughout the day, and sometimes the evening. Just like people clicking their Facebook on their Jesus phone, I look at my LinkedIn. I will say, "Hey, Animal just posted something." I may send you a, I may make a comment. I may send you a private comment or email you. I will reach out and touch you from time to time, and I'll keep you on, keep my name and my brand on your radar, so that I'm within your consciousness.
Then you must be unconnecting then with all of the other people who just post irrelevant crap in LinkedIn all day. Here's five questions that identify top talent. I don't know who this guy is, so should I, in attempting to build a relationship, send him a note that says, "Wow, that is some killer stuff. Where'd you get that?" Because it's the nonstop stream of crap that everybody reads all day long.
Then you may send him a note. "Hey, I appreciate your effort to post things, but try to dig for something that's unique that other people haven't already seen.
So I should slam it."
And then you make a contact with him. He goes, "Oh, hey, hello, and who are you? Oh, we're in the network together." And you, I mean, it takes effort.
No, that's where you lose me.
Okay, well, that's the only downside. If we say that I want to have a big network, but I don't want to work at it, I don't want to do anything with them, I don't care about these people, they're simply a database of a telephone book that if I need something, I'm going to say, "Hey, I need something from you." Why are they going to do anything from you? They don't know you. They didn't even know you were in each other's networks.
Yeah, I just hid that guy that I used as an example.
Okay, Doug, you restrict your network, though. You focus on Austin and certain industries in order to make it manageable. Is that right?
No, I'm nationwide. I'm in the way networks have grown.
I thought you were Mr. Austin. I'm wrong about that then, right?
Austin is my bathtub, but I swim in the overall ocean. I have contacts, and other people have moved and grown all over the country. I have clients from New York to Montana to L.A.
Kathy Manis, come forward now, please.
Yeah, I have a couple of comments. First of all, you say you're a contrarian on LinkedIn, yet you seem to use it to your advantage quite a bit. And also you said that a customer is not always right. Well, it appears as if you're trying to know your customer and, yes, stroke them as if they are always right. So I feel that your statements are contradictory to what you're preaching.
Well, no. I mean, if I compliment and want to get to know a customer, it's not approving and validating that they're always right. I'm just trying to identify who they are, so when I know how to approach them, so you can strip apart their preconceptions and their infallibility, and you don't do this mean-spirited. You do that. This is what I'm here to do. I'm here to strip things down and try to expose things that you don't otherwise see. It's the purple elephant.
You're using a media that you think is not valuable, that you're contradicting yourself, in other words. I mean,
we may have
500 plus connections, but those people are accepting your invitation to connect. And on the other hand, I just have to say this, if you don't believe a customer is always right, then you're going to lose hundreds of thousands of dollars in a year. I mean, that's just the way it is.
I disagree. Hey, I'm a contrarian, right? Sam showed it right there. No, Kathy, but seriously, it is, if we always assume the customer is right, then how can we help them? If we simply validate bad, I mean, you've worked with hiring managers and customers who you know weren't right.
Right, but if we don't make them feel as if they're correct, you are going to lose revenue. Take being a customer in a restaurant. You know, if they have a complaint and you don't honor it, they're going to leave. They're going to tell 10 friends who will tell 10 friends, and that restaurant can lose $200,000 by the end of the year.
Or are you being contrarian because you're kind of like the kid in the school that just is a contrarian because he knows it gets some attention?
Right.
Doing the exact same thing. Okay, fine. You say you're a contrarian and you'll tell the customer when they're wrong, and yet Kathy and yourself may actually do the very same things called it, and call it different things where you call yourself a contrarian, and and that gets you the attention where Kathy just simply says, okay, I understand what you're saying. Let's look at it this way, because you can't grow grass on Mars, but let's talk about why you're saying that.
And that in itself is an act of you're being contrary to their perception that you can grow grass on Mars. And you're saying, well, that may not be true, and let's look at why it can't be true. And so you're being
okay,
contrary.
I got an issue with this, but first I want to come back to my issue. I'll relate it to what Kathy and you were talking about, and this other person I don't recognize. You want to tell us your name? You don't have to.
Me?
Yeah, who just talked? Was that Alan?
Hi, Animal.
Yes.
Who is it? How can you not recognize Alan?
Alan.
I didn't sound like him. Okay, Alan Floor. Anyway, I want to tell everybody about JobSpeak.com. I forgot to talk about it last week. JobSpeak.com, JobSpeak, be quiet, Jerry. JobSpeak.com is a free mobile job posting application. It lets you post a job from your smartphone directly to the internet. It also lets you post a picture of your business and a 60-second audio about the job to the internet directly from your phone. It's free, and it automatically cross-posts. You know I have problems saying that. Cross-posts to your Facebook and your Twitter accounts. Remember what I said? Automatically, it automatically does that, and it's brought to you by @ChrisRussell. He's the guy behind AllCountyJobs.com. AllCountyJobs.com, JobSpeak.com. Doug, can you say JobSpeak.com?
JobSpeak.com.
Does it sound good to you?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Kathy. Can you say JobSpeak.com?
JobSpeak.com.
Thank you.
I won't say it. You don't have to.
Who's that? What other girl wants to say JobSpeak.com?
Rayanne.
Hi, Rayanne. You know, Rayanne, you don't follow me on Twitter, but that's okay. I don't mind.
I do follow you on Twitter,
and that's okay, Rayanne.
Yes,
I don't mind. No, you don't. Okay?
Animal,
you don't!
No, you don't. I checked it, too. You don't.
Oh, my God. I do, too.
No, you don't.
Yeah, okay, good. Okay. Anyway, look.
I do, too.
Well, thank you. Check it out. Yeah, sure you do. I'm wrong. You're right, okay? Now, Doug, I was talking to a friend. You still there, Doug?
Yeah, I'm here right now.
The guest. Okay. I got a friend named, I won't mention her name, but she knows me for a long time.
Name
and
her.
A few months. No, she called me up. And she called
it's
me Ray up. And she, no, she called me up and said,
Margo.
You got it. No.
Was it Margo?
Toronto.
Yeah,
how's
Margo
media.
Doing?
She's not on social media. She's a recruiter, though. She says, you got to help me. I'm busy. She's got to help me with this job. So she sends me this job. It's a low-level marketing job doing something about flyers or something for a big retail company. I'd never worked in that field before. I didn't know anything about it. And I asked her. I said, you got to tell me, you know, go to the client and ask, what are the three knockout questions or three, you know, four things we can ask somebody to know if they're doing the right thing. She didn't want to go back to the director of HR because she said that's going to, you know, bugging the person. They don't want to have to, you know, explain things to us. And I had the same problem, and she fired me because I kept insisting. And I was doing her a favor, and she fired me. And I had another client, a big company, billion-dollar company. I've mentioned it here before. And I was talking to them, not the one recently. This is a few months ago, and I said, look, I said, HR person, go back to the VP and get me the three or four questions I can ask somebody to make sure that they fit your job. I'm not an expert in your industry. And, you know, eventually she just stopped. She just stopped answering my messages. I did a lot of work, and I didn't get anywhere. So, Doug, this friend of mine, she said to me, you're too tough. You're too confrontational with your clients. And I said, what, am I supposed to go out there and work for free trying to figure out what they want? No, I'm with Doug. You got to confront people. But I'm not getting a good reaction from those confrontations.
Well, you do attract more flies with honey than vinegar.
Well, what does that mean? That sounds like Kathy talking, okay? Or Al Gore. I thought you're on my side. You're just supposed to say, looking, customer, you don't know what you're talking about. You want me to work for you for free? You better give me a hand, or it's not going to work out, and I'm teaching you something, and you better listen. How do you tell them that?
Look at what Blake said. Blake came to me for help. I had no contract. I wasn't concerned with it.
He knows you.
I stepped up to the aid of someone I know and I respect for 14 years, and I helped him. And then him and the other HR people said, well, we're impressed with that. You know, he just asked him, and we're going to pay him because he's a good guy.
Money.
And you have to, I mean, I built a reputation of trying to be just a damn good guy. I was, you know, raised military, born in the South, and it's just a certain characteristic.
What's that, born in the South? Is that like being Italian? Is that like being Italian? This is a diverse show. I don't care where you're born. Or does that give you a special skill to be a recruiter or a good networker, being born in the South?
I mean, think about this, okay,
yes.
Between your and I's nascent developing relationship. I didn't even know about you, Animal. It's because of my network. I knew a local VP in Austin named Jerry who happened to work for Bounty Jobs. He was doing some recruiting. He knew me. I wasn't some random recruiter in his network to do some help with them. Mike Hard, who was on your show a couple months ago, came down. He wanted to meet me because of Jerry talking about, here's a guy who knows a lot of people, et cetera.
Are we talking about anything? I don't follow you. You didn't answer my question. How can
follow I follow on this? And so I met Mike Hard. We ended up linking up on LinkedIn. Because I value him and my relationship with him, I watch what he's doing on LinkedIn. And then he posted that he's going to be on this thing called the Recruiting Animal Show. Never heard about you. I tuned in, and I liked what I heard.
Okay.
I'm now a fan of yours. That's because of LinkedIn and knowing the relationships that bring value to
okay,
people.
Okay, so let's switch away. Yeah, listen to me. You sound like a person who uses social media like all of us, only in a more disciplined way. You have a target list of people you want to suck up to, and then you feed them stuff to keep your name in front of them and to make them think you're a great guy. But you also apparently like to meet people. Didn't Blake say that, or you say that? You like to take people to lunch. Is that
actually, they take me to lunch, but that's okay.
Well, how does that happen?
Yeah.
How does that happen? How does that happen? And what's the difference in value of sucking up to someone on LinkedIn or sucking up to them in lunch? Now, I'd like to know the difference. So Jerry has very pronounced views on that.
I don't disagree with you. It is another form of sucking up. And it's giving effort. If we don't provide effort, then there's no value to it. And you have to. I mean, people
are
lazy.
What's the value in a lunch?
Well, if I'm getting fed, it's considerable value. I get free
food. Okay.
Taking
come on.
Time.
We're running out of time. I want my listeners who struggled with us for 45 minutes, and they let me know on Twitter, you know, job search coach, the guy has to fight with a baby every day, but he's still got energy to criticize me and say, I don't know what the show's about. We want to turn you, job search coach, into a dynamo, a honey pit for Columbus, Ohio. Maybe you think you are already, but I'm not a honey pit, and this guy is like I don't know. Everybody loves him in Austin. I want my listeners to know how they can be like you, Doug. So tell me now, what's the value?
The simple thing is this. Put some damn effort into your network. The same amount of time that you sit and tweet and follow people on Facebook about a movie they saw or a restaurant recommendation, that's a bunch of BS, and it's a waste of time. Most people are feeling that. That's not new news to the marketplace. And instead, devote that time that you would on Twitter and LinkedIn, on Facebook, to LinkedIn. Follow your network. Find out what they're doing and what their updates are.
Okay,
reach out to them.
Let's say I find. Look, let's say I want to do some work for Sodexo, and I know Ari Ball is the VP of recruiting there, or talent management, or whatever. So should I put her on my suck up list and then RT her all the time? I think I've advised people to. Is that what I should do, Doug? Is that primarily
all the time, but when appropriate, you have to have an intelligent methodology for it and know when it's appropriate. You need to keep yourself on other people's radar.
Uh-huh.
That's where you lost him.
Okay, now, but hold on. What's the value of a meeting? Why did you go to lunch with Blake? I mean, was he going to tell you about his love life? Or what's the value of a meeting with someone face-to-face? Because you know what? Just because you can send somebody a tweet or a short message on LinkedIn doesn't mean that you have something to talk about for an hour.
Well, I mean, it may not be in person. People reach out to me on LinkedIn. Someone from New York recently.
You know, I told you about reach out. I just got to discipline you, okay? I told you about reach out. Don't say that. Did the guy phone you or email you or what? I mean,
I tell people when they email me to link up and I don't know them, I tell them, look, I'm happy to link with you, but we need to have a conversation. If they're in the local area, then we can get up, we go out and meet, or at least to have a phone call to say, I know who you are. And that's my policy. You cannot
be
in my network.
Do you refuse anybody to put them on your LinkedIn profile? You refuse people?
I refuse them all the time.
People
and
you
I usually
actually
put them
meet
as
with?
Fans.
No. If someone reaches out to you, if they phone you up and say,
Uh-oh.
Doug, I want to be – yeah, I said it with ironically, Rayanne, okay?
Okay?
It's not taboo. So anyway, if someone calls you on the phone and says, Doug, I want to link up with you on LinkedIn and says, let's go to lunch, and you actually go to lunch with the guy and you don't like him, will you say, look, you're not my cup of tea, forget it? I'm not linking up with you.
That actually, well, yes, there's been one or two people that I may distance myself from, but I work within a private network. The people who do reach out to me actually know someone.
Yeah, don't say that word, okay?
If Blake knows me, refers someone to me, I'm very much likely going to like that person because Blake would not send me somebody that wasn't of a
okay, so let me ask you another question. Before the time's up, do you make any cold calls? Since you just told us that people who contact you actually come through your network, when you want to contact a candidate or a potential client, do you make cold calls or do you always go through other people? Since
I
you're
always
recruiter,
go through other people.
Now tell
and
us
I've,
how to
and
do
I've,
that.
And I've built a network, 3 degrees of 11 million, half a million in my 2-degree pool. And so I have a large stretch that I can throw myself into.
Okay, we got 10 minutes. Tell us a story about how you go through people and make money doing so, either to get a client or to make a placement or a candidate or something like that.
I'm trying to take a quick example on that one. Well, I mean, Blake is one of them. He already gave that example. Of someone.
He didn't give an example. You got five people for him, but how did you get those five people? Did you call them directly? You knew them in advance.
I was working on a CFO search for the Capital Area Food Bank. I went to my network. There's some people I knew, and then I saw Stephanie Cavanaugh. She had a nice, interesting background. We weren't directly linked, but we knew someone in common, a guy named, I think, Blair Duncan, another CFO.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I emailed Blair and say, hey, how well do you know Stephanie? And he goes, oh, I know her very well, et cetera. So, well, I have a CFO opportunity. Then he put me in touch with her. And
you wouldn't
have
called her directly. Would you? What if you weren't connected with her and you saw that she was a good fit? Would you call her directly ever?
Oh, yes. I mean, if I knew it was a perfect fit.
What's your cold call?
But if you, I don't do it. I haven't done a cold call because I don't need to because I built my network. And had such a value to my intellectual property.
He doesn't know how to do it.
Use that. And I call someone who I know or email them, and even someone at maybe 3 degrees and say, hey, Bob, how well do you know Tim? Because he knows Deborah. And I would check the network. Oh, I know them very well. He's a good friend of mine, and I'll forward it to him. So 3 degrees is within your reach if you have a quality network. Otherwise, you're just spam.
Okay, anybody else got questions for Doug before the day's over? Blake, did we miss something essential that you think is important? I think it took a long time, but we're really getting to his key message. Am I right about that, Blake?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, but there's a lot more there. But
what? Know. Tell me. What is it? I asked
you
to help me.
I'm
begging you to help me.
I did help you. Everything you got was for me. Come on.
That was obvious. Blake wrote this one.
Blake, what else should I ask him? Is Blake, in the last minutes, what's there a lot more that we're not getting to?
The only thing I think of is I mean, and knowing him, and we don't talk all the time, it's funny that a lot of times I call him when I need him, and every now and then he sends an email and just says, hey, boo, what's up? More than anything, he doesn't use a smartphone. He doesn't have texting on a phone. He doesn't do this. He's old school. Pick up the phone. Hey, how you doing? He's, you know, he does it the right way. You know, he does it. He's not on the 25 most influential list because he's posted the most blogs, and therefore his the tool found him to have the highest ranking and everything. Therefore, he got listed on some national list that makes him look great. Whenever
it's
he's a
anyway.
HR generalist,
John Sumter,
you know, sitting in a you know, in a company over here, acting like he's the, you know, the know-it-all. Whenever, you know, God couldn't hold my freaking chalk, you know. So, you know, that's the value that Doug brings. Is, you know, he's old school recruiting. You know, he does it the right way.
And the issue is, I make an effort. I spend time. And if people don't want to spend time and make an effort to learn their network, keep up with their network, massage and garden.
Okay, yeah, yeah, you said that already. I want Blake to talk just a little more. Blake, What else did I miss?
I just told you. No.
No, you said I missed a lot. You said I missed a lot. I'm challenging you to show me what I missed.
I just did. We don't have that much time.
How can he be old school if he doesn't cold call?
Excellent question.
Why do I have to cold call?
I'll answer that. I think the majority of the people around here know who he is, and they call him. He's not out doing a lot of business.
I don't know him
right now.
I don't know him.
You are not in Austin, Texas.
You know him. Wait, you know him now?
True.
Kathy, Austin is his bathtub. Austin,
it is.
Ew. California.
That was a good question, Kathy. Anybody else? Now, Blake, the focus has shifted to Blake. Blake, is there anything else that you have to add to that, okay?
No, I'm good, man. You know,
no, you're not. You're going to go away and say the animal didn't deal with my friend Doug properly. I want to know what I missed.
You gave him a platform. You put him on the show. What was it? 2 weeks ago, I called you from lunch telling you that you should have him on. I mean, here you are. You've got him on. So it's just that easy.
You're copping out. Anybody else got a question for either Blake or Doug before it's over?
Hit me.
Go, Jerry.
Yeah, I've got one. The last time you sent an invoice, what was it for?
Oh, geez. Honey, honey.
I want to know. Was it consulting services? Was it LinkedIn management?
I thought you meant
was it keynote stuff?
Was it the payback for lunch?
I don't care how much. I just want to know for what.
The last
poor
one.
K, as we say down there. Poor K.
Poor K.
Last one I sent out about a week ago was to the American Heart Association. They called me for help on a VP of HR, and I helped them, and they offered to pay me.
Okay, so you are an HR recruiter then.
That's what you did with Blake and those guys.
So you're an HR recruiter. That's cool. Awesome.
Then CFO, I'm working on a CFO, CTO, and CMO right now.
Okay. So you are primarily
executive.
A recruiter, though.
He's executive, sounds like.
Yeah. I do recruiting. I do have coaching clients around the country. But I'm a mixed bag. I'm a free agent. I do HR. I sit on the boards of some startup companies like Affintis and Campus True Careers. You know, I contribute to their success on one of their board advisory roles. I'm a brand in my industry, and a lot of people know me, and people call me for help. And that's
cool.
All I do. I sit up.
And cool. And when you say
me.
You're a recruiter, executive search, contingent, you take whatever you negotiate. What?
No, I don't. I'm weird about this. I don't necessarily sign contracts unless the company asks me to retroactively. Just like Blake said, I had no contract with Pace America. I didn't have a fee. I didn't structure anything. My friend called me, who I know. I stepped to his aid. If they didn't want to pay me, that's fine. Colleen got the job, what's her name?
Rita.
Rita, she got the job. Great. However, Blake and the HR executive said this guy's cool and. We actually want to pay them. I literally don't send invoices and don't sign contracts. I don't have fees. I work with a private network. If a company in New York calls me, hey, we want you some headhunting, I don't know who they are. They don't know who I am. I might actually go for a contract. But I don't need to. I haven't for over 2 or 3 years. People call me. I do my help. They put a value to it and say, this is what we think your value. We appreciate the work and effort, and here you go. So... That's what I.
You've never
unique,
had.
I only work in a private network.
And you've never had a Fortune 500 say, "Well, there was nothing signed, so we don't need to pay."
No.
Okay.
Everyone always. Essentially, what I say is this: is I have monetized karma by guilt. I'm a Jewish Buddha. Okay. And it works.
Oh, jeez.
See, now we have
and
Italian.
I'm a Catholic Taoist, so I guess
exactly.
We're on
yeah,
the same.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Yeah.
And,
same guilt,
and that's
different
my, part of my brand, part of my shtick. It works for me, and you know, and it's all because I've developed a quality network. If you don't want to spend the time on gardening and working your network instead of having social flatulence talking about the latte you're having, then
right.
you're never going to have anything of value for other people. Blake came
well,
to me
right.
because I had a value.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my message.
So, like, if Blake and his company decide to send you $250, like, would you say anything about it, or would you say thanks?
No.
Or, I mean, is that...
Oh, I would tease Blake that he'll continue to owe me free lunches for a very long time, but I would
not.
Do
you have a family to support?
No. Well, I got a dog. Her name is Flower.
Okay.
She's a border collie. You can look on my picture on LinkedIn, and that's my significant other.
Do you have a mortgage or car payments?
Yes, but no, not car payments. My car is bought and paid off.
Okay.
These questions are a little weird. They're kind of assuming that the guy's, like, sitting around not making any money.
That's not what I'm assuming. Here's the question. Here's
if
the
you're
comparison.
Asking, am I successful? Yes, I am. And let's just leave it at that.
I'm not even asking that. I'm just asking, do you make a decision when they – do you have an expectation when you make a placement with a client, however you want to determine what that was, do you have an expectation – of some sort of accounts receivable?
No, the Buddhist in me comes out and say life of misery and sorrow is because we have expectations. Now, you also have to realize, it's like
you
been
can't
talked
live
about
off
on
of
the,
that.
There's been, we've been talking about the Internet as people creating multiple streams of income. I have 4 or 5 streams of income. I do consulting on boards of companies. I do coaching. I teach a regular class over at another company. I do headhunting recruiting. So I have 5 channels of income, of which 2 or 3 at any one time are producing revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not dependent on making that placement and driving for that placement. This is my style. It's not for everyone.
Sure.
And so if someone says, hey, we appreciate the help, we can't pay you, then if the American Heart Association couldn't pay me, that's fine. I was helping Dennis Wilson and the candidate I knew, which was Colleen Crawford, and I was helping the people make a successful situation happen. And because of their appreciation and value to me, it's all about the value you create in people. And
But hold on a second. Hold on. As I'm thinking about this here, though, companies don't just send somebody a check without an invoice. So at some point, you have to send them an invoice. Am I correct?
Yeah, with the Heart Association, they say, Dave, you know, Doug, we talked to the CFO. We'd actually like to pay you. Could you fill out this 1099 form, et cetera?
Yeah.
And which I had to do because they needed it for tax reasons and all that. Got to be legal up and up. And so, but it's retroactive to what I do. But it's because I trust those people, and I've created value, just like what Blake has been trying to say. It's
so
the
customer then creates his own invoice.
Yes, in that case, yes.
Well, I mean, you're kind of saying in all cases they do.
Some people just say, hey, can you send us an invoice,
okay.
and I have a pocket invoice.
Yeah, I'm just trying to clarify the thing. I mean, it's cool.
It just depends on the company.
Love
their own paperwork or whatever. So, but it's successful for me because I have concentrated developing value to my network by helping them and giving what I ask. I know that's old school, but damn it, it works, animal. And
none of it is old school. None of what you're doing
is old school. Yeah, more people are taking. When I read bullshit issues about people and their personal life, they're taking my time and wasting it. And I resent that. I don't want that to be people in my network that anytime they reach out, anytime they contact me or I contact them, that I'm a waste of their time. And that's what we're finding.
Are you guys familiar with Kiva?
No.
It's like a peer-to-peer lending where basically people give like small microloans with no contract or... You know, they expect that they'll get the money back, but there's nothing enforcing it. This guy sounds like the Kiva of recruiting.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. But I work within a trusted network. And, you know, if someone's way out of the network and I'm just cold called for me to do some work with someone, I may approach it by saying, well, we have something more formal in place because there's no relationship. And that's one of the problems in things with people with vast open networks. There's no relationship, so you can't ask them for help. You can't lean on them. They're not going to come to, and if they come to you,
but also,
you,
it, it almost sounds, and it's a great model, Doug, if it works for you, and that's wonderful, and that you have multiple streams, that's wonderful. The thing I think Kathy and Jerry and I are kind of curious about is that it sounds as though your relationships say, okay, we'll do this, and at the end they'll say, well, you know, we need to pay this guy. But in our experiences, Fortune 500 and others, once it starts getting into the process of things, somebody along the line says, well, we don't have an agreement with this guy, or we don't have X, we don't have Y. How are we going to do this? But if your relationships are high enough, like yours are at this Heart Association thing, sure, you get an executive to say, well, pay this guy something. Now, whatever that something is, maybe it's more, maybe it's less than typical, but we're just trying to understand how does this work?
And usually, yes, your last point is I go with direct high contacts, and if you're high enough and you say, just take care of this guy, and you bypass the system.
Exactly. So in that respect, you're the same as what we all strive to do and build those relationships, which is wonderful.
Yeah. And it makes stress a lot less, and so, yeah. And that's because of a value that it has to be ascribed by the marketplace. It's not my pontificating. It's what Blake said. It's not me saying that. It's him saying that, and then he says that to other people. It's just like having, you know, good PR where people talk well about you, not your peacocking about how great you are. It has to be other people, and the people in my network, thank God, say nice things about me, which attracts other people to put a similar value on me. And so we have to understand that intellectual property, which is our network, has to be valuable.
Animal, you're 6 minutes into my show, dude. I didn't want to.
Okay.
I thought you'd notice
that.
Okay.
Okay.
My time's valuable too.
Okay. Let me wrap up here. I wanna say. I think Blake is right. This guy Doug is very interesting. Although he came talking about different things than I think. What is most interesting about him. It's this networking ability. Doug, I'm really interested in what you said. I think we have a lot to learn from it, although I have so much trouble getting someone to give me a lot of examples of how they build these relationships. It sounds like you do the traditional thing of just sending some interesting articles. That's all there is to it. You get your target sign up list, and you feed them
articles. And I make
articles.
An effort to contact them. To actually be in their world and send them an email.
Yeah, we
got to
know when you contact somebody who's, you know, you just know from LinkedIn or something like that, what do you talk to them about? We have to know. So maybe we'll talk again off the show. We'll build up a bunch of examples, if you like, and then you can come back. You can come back and we'll go into the granular level, the detail of it. In the meantime, I apologize for taking so long to get to the point, but I think it's been very interesting. We're going to Jerry's after show.
Thanks, Doug.
The guest is not allowed. You are not allowed to go to the after show. Thank you very much!
Hello?
Jerry. Who? Jerry there?
Did he
say no after show?
No, I'm here. I'm just...
Well, then start talking, okay, and
he's,
I can go off.
Hey, it's my show, okay? Sometimes
right.
My people want to hear me think, all right?
Rayanne.
You just back off, animal.
Rayanne is right. You're pouting. Go ahead and pout.
No, I'm not pouting. I'm just trying to... It just dawned on me that some of my competitors aren't even charging anything. And so... That makes it tough to compete, I guess.
Well, welcome to my world, Jerry.
You know, I hope we weren't too hard on that guy. I was just trying to come to an understanding of what he must just be in some small crowd of people that, I mean, they know what he does and they don't have to get caught up in he has to send somebody an invoice. I don't know anybody that can cut a corporate check without there being an invoice on a desk. Now, so at some point, Doug has to decide what that service was worth. Now, maybe the company says, I'll give you $20,000. I don't know. But at some point, there has to be an agreement that that service is or was for X amount. I mean, you can't just run
Fortune 500 company and say, hey, Sandy, send that guy a check for, you know, $15,000. I just don't see that happening. That there's no slush fund or petty cash drawer for recruiters out there. Maybe there is. Maybe that's what I'm wrestling with.
Well, there is. It's just a matter of they don't call it a slush fund for recruiters. They just call it a discretionary budget.
Yeah, I don't see somebody working in and around the discretionary budgets of these corporations. I mean,
I agree with you.
I don't know.
Unless what Doug is doing at the end is, instead of competing with you and I and the rest of the guests here at whatever, he's doing it at 50%, 25% cost of what we would charge, and somebody thinks, well, I'd pay $50,000 to get this guy, and, you know, if we give Doug 10, well, then that's okay.
I don't know. I have no idea. What do you think, Manister?
Obviously, it some of the questions were going this way, and I thought it was actually bordering on the rude, kind of like with the assumption that this guy's making no money. I guess it would be interesting to know, like, if, like, just like what band or what range, like, the like his income is in from all of this, because I could see, I mean, in the venture capital world, where these relationships are like gold. I mean, those guys do some recruiting. They sit on some boards. They're helping, you know, they're funding some companies with money. They're, like, doing all this stuff. And it all kind of works out in the end because, you know, that network that they're putting together of people, like, pays off in dollars and cents when some of these companies are successful. So I could kind of see, like, a model like that kind of working a little bit. But, like,
yeah.
I don't really completely understand how it comes together for him.
Yeah, and I was never concerned with, you know, how much money does he make? Is he successful? I just was more interested in the process of, you know, at what point does a check end up landing in your mailbox? I mean, how does that take place?
Well,
I don't care if it's $200 or $75,000.
For me, I'm interested in the same thing, Jerry, but only if I know that it actually works.
What do you mean?
If a person's making $20,000 a year off of this, like, networking five income stream thing, that's one thing. If the guy's making $1 million a year, that's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
I'm interested if he's making $1 million on this whole thing. I'm interested, very interested in how he's making it work.
Mm-hmm.
He's making $20,000, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, once again, nobody asks the hard question, how much.
Maureen, I think asking somebody how much is very rude.
I think it's very interesting, and Dave just said as much.
No, but Dave also would agree that asking,
you know,
someone, Dave, would you ask somebody how much money they make a year?
You don't say
not in social circles.
You
or anything,
don't say
obviously.
It like
I mean,
that, Jerry.
Well,
no.
Maureen, you say how much? What's the difference?
I might ask what is the service cost, but you haven't heard me say how much do you earn or how much.
I think whenever you're talking to an entrepreneur, that's not like part of like
how much
a huge
and how
organization.
I don't know. I was sensing a disconnect through that whole later part of the show. It sounded like, you know, Pollyanna, you know, fairy tale-ish. That's what it came off to me like. Maybe
that was
you
the only part
thought
I found
was,
interesting.
I thought it was the most interesting part.
Was, I mean,
I didn't think that sounded
out of all this friendly handshake stuff, hey,
exactly.
Buy me lunch, happy to connect, I help so-and-so get a job.
Glad handing,
okay,
slap
yeah,
it on
I
the
mean,
back.
Where's the fee for services rendered?
Exactly.
Maybe he doesn't need it.
Yeah, maybe there's a trust fund. Who knows?
Jerry.
Sometimes
trust
those kind
fund,
of
baby.
Relationships just run on trust, not trust fund. But,
well,
I mean, the Kiva example is one where,
yep.
like, you know, you expect people to pay you back, so they do pay you back, and they have a smaller default rate than banks do without a contract.
Half of my clients have been my customers for years and years, and I'd be hard-pressed to dig out any written agreement within the past decade.
How many of those have paid you without an invoice?
What's that?
How many of those have paid you without an invoice? I can
none.
Say none.
Right.
They all have to have an invoice.
That's right.
Right.
But they know you're going to invoice them, right?
Right. You betcha.
So
so that I think you're mistaking
his thing with not like with not billing clients for like him like not leaving a paper trail for their like their finance departments to follow. Like I'm sure at some point there's a piece of paper. Maybe they come to him and they say, hey, like, make sure that you, you know, we're going to give you 20 grand or whatever. Like, make sure that you're going to, you know, give us some paperwork to back this up. I'm sure he provides that paperwork. I mean, that's just part of reality.
Yeah, Dave, that's what I was wanting to clarify.
It sounded like the CFO at the Heart Association, somebody has a conversation, he has a talk with them, and he says, well, you know, hey, I'd like to get something for this. And the guy says, well, how about 5 grand? It's like, oh, okay. And something happens, and there's but you're right. I've never known anything without some piece of paper from my side being presented to
people. I'll even give you an example from the far other end of the spectrum. I know another recruiter who he's so much of a networking kind of a guy that if he's out and he takes somebody to lunch and the guy says, yeah, we're hiring an engineer or we're hiring an accountant or, you know, something like that. Well, over the next couple of weeks, I mean, pretty soon some guys have been referred over to this guy. Yeah, so-and-so said that blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, they're getting an invoice from this guy that I know. And on more than one occasion, the client ends up saying, what's this invoice for? I just said we're hiring somebody. What the hell?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's kind of sloppy stuff. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
it sounds like a road to ruin to me.
If you're doing something with the intent to be paid for it, I would say you got to discuss it on the front end. Now, Blake is a customer, so Blake, perhaps you could share with us a customer's feeling on the other side of this. What are we missing?
She just said it's a road to ruin, yet he's extremely successful in what he does here, and that's, you know, the relationships that he's built and the people that trust him to do a good job, and they pay him for that. I don't see where that's ruin.
Regardless
of whether he's got a big-ass company sitting in a high-rise with a bunch of recruiters working for him or phone sourcers, people that are calling that don't know anybody they're talking to, you know, and I think somebody posted on there that he only goes to does business with somebody or accepts somebody on LinkedIn after they've bought him lunch. I think that's just absolutely ridiculous. You know, I took him to lunch because I wanted to thank him for doing a good job for us. I don't have to take him to lunch for anything.
Who is this?
Well, and on the other end of the spectrum, maybe he's capitalizing on one of the business models that is really kind of nice. Is he gets business by saying no, does his networking, and people come to him.
Well, the bottom line here in Austin, there's not a lot of big Fortune 500 companies. There's only a handful, and that's probably not his market. You know, the small to medium sized companies where he has relationships at the HR level, the people that he glad hands and knows and has built relationships with over the last 20 years here in this town. I mean, those are his customers. It's not, you know, it's not the big Dells and 3Ms and IBMs of the world. You know, they've got enough people knocking on their doors.
True.
So, I mean, that's my experience with him. Other than that, I've had lunch with him one time and coffee with him once in the last year. You know, and I come away knowing more every time I've had lunch with him. And if nothing else, you know, as a recruiter, I want to know who you know. And he's very good with giving names. You know, he'll tell you everybody he knows and what they're doing and different companies here in town that's hiring. And, I mean, you walk away from it with, you know, kind of a good marching orders on ways to take your business.
He seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, he's great.
I'm not against him in any way. I was a bit confused on the whole, I'm going to do something for you, send me what you think my service is worth thing.
Yeah, that's a little.
You know, strange. I mean, I have customers. Whenever
you've got that relationship with people you've been doing business a long time, it's hard to come on here and explain that in a matter of 30 to 45 minutes with 5 or 6 people butting in, over and over.
I don't know.
We never got a 30-second elevator speech. That would have been helpful.
Two things. The first is, Maureen, I didn't think anyone was being rude. I thought that we came pretty close Maureen said that on Twitter, that I thought people were being rude to the guest. And the second thing is sometimes, like, when I'm raising money for the Yuri Foundation, people say, like, oh, like, how much does it cost to get, like, a sponsorship or stuff? And I just say, hey, like, you know, just pay what you think it's worth. And I know they're going to actually pay more when I do that, and they're, like, kind of, like, guilted into it a little bit.
Sure.
You know, it's like, oh, you think it's worth it. They don't want to, like, kind of, like, you know, because it's for charity and everything, they don't want to, like, kind of underpay and seem like
they
they're all cheap,
so
they'll go over. And they'll go more than I would have quoted almost every single time. And I bet you there's some of that in here, too. It's like, oh, yeah, just pay me what you think my services are worth. And, you know, if the relationship's that tight at that point, they're almost never going to go under the price. And if once in a while they do, it's just overwhelmed by the time they go over.
Yeah, I guess maybe I just can't – I can't leave my – I mean, I do need to make a living. And I can't really leave that to someone's idea of – some people would probably think recruiting is worth $500.
Mm-hmm.
I mean – some people would probably be shocked.
Yeah, but Jerry,
to know.
How many of those guys do you work with?
Well, I...
A few.
Probably a couple, you know.
Oh, come on.
Jerry
you
thinks
know.
Names are worth a dollar.
No, but I, you know, I'm
if
just...
If they actually thought that, you wouldn't be working with them. So I don't know.
Maybe they just realize what fees are, and they don't need to talk about it. And when the job gets done, then they pay the fee, and that's cool. I think it's great. And I was not, you know, I wasn't trying to grill the guy. I was just trying to... understand.
I was. It's different. I mean, if you have a family to support, it's hard to leave your income up to the discretion
Kathy's
of
right.
others.
Kathy's right. And most of us do have families to support.
Right.
So I don't think it's really real world good advice.
My kids are almost old enough to fend for themselves.
Okay.
They are not.
Reagan is 10.
How old's the baby? How's the baby?
Hannah will be, she's having her princess birthday party this weekend.
Oh,
she'll be
yeah.
sick.
He'll be sick.
God, birthday parties
Indiana,
for kids are just crazy.
Out in the Indiana jungle, you're going to let her fend for herself? You've got, like, a pond back there with a Loch Ness monster.
Yeah.
No, really, what Kathy said, it's not real world good advice
That's
for people.
That's exactly right.
That's right.
I mean,
right.
I'm sure we all know some of the best, I know one of the best niche nonprofit higher education retained search firms that I've ever met. I've known them for 20 years, and they are still constantly putting out proposal bids, and it's all done up front. So there's a bit of a disconnect for me that even though these people get clients calling them on a regular basis, and we've done some tech work for them because it's not their specialty, talking with them over the years, they're always putting out proposals. They're mm-hmm. always putting out fee agreements. There's always a front and understanding going into this, and that's where my disconnect was a little bit, because we've all experienced that, is many times the clients, I don't know a client too many who have said, yeah, we'll worry about that afterwards.
And,
a client
and
that would say
do,
that
would
to me,
that?
If a client said that to me, I'd say, well, you know, I'd kind of like to just take care of it now, if you don't mind, because, you know, if we wait till the back end, I want to make sure that nobody's confused about anything.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
yeah.
This is for a, you know, I work for a fee, so let's kind of hook up on that.
I am for profit.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get scores real quick. Just throw out whatever score you think the guy was worth.
What is it, 1 to 100 or 1 to 10,
yeah.
or what are we doing?
We're doing the guest and the host. I don't like the whole entertainment value, the whole, none of that. Rate the guest any way you want, and the
guest
host,
an
any
80?
Way you want.
Can I go first? The guest an 80 because, you know, he created...
Yeah.
Controversy. What did he call himself starting out?
Contrarian.
He
which
did
I
that.
Don't think he was.
Created controversy. And animal, 80 for bringing the guest.
Okay. Thanks, Maureen. Rayanne?
I only heard the last 20 minutes.
That was plenty.
I'll rate that. I'm going to give the guest. 75, based on what I heard, an animal. I'm going to give him a 70.
Okay. Alan Flura.
I'll give the guest a 77, and I'll give animal an 80. It was he brought a good candidate. He brought an interesting person that got some discussion going. I think I would just like to have gotten maybe an initial from the guest. What do you do? How do you do it? What's your elevator speech? So we're all kind of in the on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
More elevator speech, please.
No. What do you do? Why do you do it? How do you do it? Where's your value?
Manister.
I give them both 80s. I like this one.
You just had a big event recently, didn't you?
Had the ERE Expo last week.
How was it? Tell us about it.
Oh, it was awesome. It was for the corporate side, Jerry, and
yep.
Had a few hundred recruiters come on down and talk shop. It was awesome.
See, that would be a good crowd for me to network with. I like those guys.
Jerry, every time I talk to you about coming to one of these events, you say, bring it. I'll come when you hold it in Indiana.
Or somewhere nearby. How Chicago,
Cincinnati.
Man.
How about Cincinnati? Bring it to Cincinnati.
I will come to any event
I'll
in Chicago.
Too.
Actually, there's a pretty good chance that next year we're going
to
do one in Chicago. So stay
Yay!
Tuned.
Yay!
McCormick Center?
I don't
no.
know. No idea yet.
Anything but anything at the airport. Do not do it at O'Hare. I hate that place.
I hate that
traffic
place myself.
Around
but I, yeah, I'm with you.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah. And any other scores? Blake, are you still here, or are you're busy?
No, I'm here, but I would give the guests an 80 and Animal an 80 as well.
Starting to see a trend here.
Yeah.
Well, Jerry, why don't you
These are some lazy scores, people.
Yeah,
What's that, Maureen?
Jerry, you throw your wet blanket on the fire.
My scores?
Yeah.
Surprisingly... I think they both should get about an 80.
Okay.
And it has nothing to do with what you guys have said. I just that's why I was bummed out to hear your scores. I'm thinking, God, I wanted to be the only one to give a couple of 80s.
This is Kathy. I have to. Can I get my scores quickly?
You sure can, Kathy. As fast as you possibly can, and then hang up, would you?
The guest. Well,
go.
Yes, 65. I just felt like he was just. He wasn't consistent.
What was your score, Kathy?
65. And
you,
I would give Animal. I felt that he contradicted himself. I mean, I don't know. I had a hard time buying into what he was saying. I understand
he tended to, I heard some of his little catchphrases probably a dozen times that you start thinking, well, is this guy all catchphrase material? But maybe not. Blake knows him. Blake had lunch with him.
He criticized LinkedIn, but yet he uses it all the time. I don't know. It just sort of bothered me. And I'd give Animal an 80.
Okay, 80. I was hoping you'd,
That's it. I got to go, guys.
Anybody else?
Wow. Did Rand give her score?
I did. Okay. But real quick, I'm doing a webinar tomorrow with Blogging for Jobs and Ron Carricker. On mobile recruiting. So I know, Jerry, you're not interested because you don't believe in anything but picking up the phone. But if anybody else is interested, and not for mobile, it has to have a wire attached to the end of it.
Mobile is one of the more overhyped deals going. But
you got an online score. Valentino Benito. He was a guest, wasn't he, before? He gives us the guest a 41 and Animal a 94.
Huh. Oh,
Jerry, do you ever use a mobile device, or are you still like have the little flip phone, or you have a smartphone?
Yeah, I use a mobile device, and you know what I really like? I like sitting there and doing searches and stuff on a tiny little keyboard. I like it guessing the words that I'm adding in there.
It's not
and you're
I love
for
that.
You.
It's
so
not
why
for
are
the recruiter. It's for the job seeker, you dork.
Right.
The job seeker with little fingers.
Yeah.
Right.
No. God, you guys are lame.
We're teasing you, Rand.
I'm not. I think it's overhyped. Give me the general idea of it. Is it a different way to text people?
Yeah, it's everything that has to do with mobile. So it's
okay.
Location, it's texting, it's having an app for your career page or
that's cool.
So
yeah.
It's based and it's
cool.
Worth a one HRCI credit. So SHRM approved.
Mm.
So anybody's interested,
Okay, I'm slightly interested.
I've tweeted it out a couple times, so.
Yeah, tweet it out. Everybody, you've been great. Loved you. Loved the show. Take it easy. Later.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.